Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy holidays, everybody. Great to be with you. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdys have served this valley for decades. They've done so with distinction. They've taken really good care of their customers. Great people to be around, to work with. And by the way, if there's a problem and you have a claim, boom, you are the number one priority. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I am in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, there's a lot to talk about. Bowl game, obviously. Bowl season. Kevin thinks there are too many bowl games.
Too many.
Kevin gets wrapped up in such things. Let me tell you what I've got a big problem with in life. Poverty. That's big to me. People going hungry. Bowl games, don't care how many there are. I got other worries and cares.
You make it sound like I don't care about anything else, though.
Well, let's get to about what you actually do care about. Your team was bad yesterday.
No, you want to get to what I care about. You're going to talk about the stink bomb that my team put together.
Let's start with this. Let's start on the positives.
There isn't
any. The Redskins are a legitimate playoff team and are not just in there because they are a team that is winning their way in by winning their division. The Redskins deserve to be in. They have played really well the last 6 weeks of this season. They deserve to be in. Kirk Cousins fits what they're doing. DeSean Jackson still has a tendency to lose his poise, but is a great talent. Scott McLuhan has done a great job in a short period of time of assembling a team that fits. And I think the Redskins did not back their way in. I think they're legit, and I think they're a threat. Now your team. How does one describe a complete lackadaisical effort that we saw yesterday? Complete and absolute lackadaisical. You've got everything in your own control. You should go out and crush this team. Let's see now. No Joe Flacco. No Forsett. No Steve Smith Sr. No Terrell Suggs. And you lost.
Steve, these are professionals. And you should not ever... You know, you hate this word, I know it. Look, but you should never have a trap game in the NFL, and they fell into it.
What trap? No trap game. No trap game. Okay? This is where you're wrong. No trap game. Your team is not a good football team.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but even a bad football team should have beaten them.
No. Okay? That football team gave effort yesterday.
Well, yeah, the Ravens did, yes.
Baltimore gave effort. Baltimore acted as if it was the most important game on the schedule. And your team acted as if it was, we've got it made.
I agree.
Well, you don't have it made. Guess what? Okay? You were in a massive snowstorm in the middle of October and early November. And this gigantic plow showed up and plowed you right into the playoffs and got you out of trouble. And you ditch the car.
I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, by the way.
And your quarterback took a great day to have a bad day.
But you shouldn't, as a professional football team, sit back and have a game where you're looking past it to the next week of the playoffs. That shouldn't happen at this level. And that's what they did. They didn't even think that was going to be a football game. That's why I think they fell into a trap. They fell into their own trap, not anything the Ravens created.
There's no trap. The Baltimore Ravens were the professionals yesterday who showed up and played hard all 60 minutes and took nothing for granted when they literally had nothing but their own personal professional pride to play for.
I agree with you.
And your team...
I don't understand the offensive change in the first half, though. I don't know why... And Tomlin said at halftime, well, that's what they're giving us is the run. I don't understand that. They got away from what was very successful all season long, or at least the latter half of the season, then finally went back into it in the second half, and it was too late. And you're right. Ben picked a bad day to have a bad game.
Maybe they knew he was going to have a bad day.
There was nothing I could come out positively about with that football game.
They played poorly, and they had it now. They're not out of the woods yet. They still have Cleveland. You know, they could botch that game up, which they very well might. And then, but if they do win the game, then Buffalo could very well defeat the Jets.
Cleveland almost won yesterday.
No.
Well, they played better in the second half and made it a game.
No. Cleveland almost did not win yesterday. The score looked like they almost won yesterday, but in reality, no.
The last drive didn't look as good as the drive before it, say that.
They were pretty much controlled. They were controlled throughout, really, to be honest with you.
I don't know. The way that the Steelers played yesterday, they don't deserve to be in the playoffs.
By the way, who coaches the team, by the way, that beat Cleveland yesterday? Who coaches that team?
Andy Reid?
The guy that you rip to shreds all the time who's won 9 in a row?
Well, he still can't manage a clock. Of course, neither can the Steelers, for that matter. What terrible clock management that was in the fourth quarter.
Kevin, Andy Reid's a good football coach, right? And the bottom line is the Eagles have had some of their best years with him as the head coach. Kansas City has bounced right back, and now they're a playoff team with him as the head coach because he's done a good job of organizing that talent. He's acquired a couple of extra guys along the way. Holly and Houston are a dynamite 1-2 punch on the outside. Getting Barry back from cancer has been huge. But remember, this is also a team that lost Jamaal Charles for the year.
I never said he was a bad coach. I said he had poor clock management.
I don't know. A lot of people you put down seem to end up doing pretty well. A lot of people you endorse seem
like
to just
Andy
fall
Reid.
Apart.
I've always liked Andy Reid. I just think he does not manage the clock well. At least at Philadelphia, he didn't manage the clock well.
Maybe Donovan McNabb didn't manage the clock well.
And you may have an argument there. My biggest concern right now is my team stinks.
My biggest concern is poverty. It bothers me.
It bothers me, too, but when it comes to football, my team stinks, and that bothers me.
Your team doesn't stink, but your team is
they played like they stunk.
Is imbalanced. It's excellent in a couple of areas which nobody would, which everybody would want to have, because Antonio Brown had another stinker day yesterday, too.
The whole team was awful. You've heard of team wins. But that was a team loss.
And you're concerned about too many bowl games. Let me tell you one quick story about today's bowl game.
All right. That's the Armed Forces Bowl?
Right. Military Bowl.
Military Bowl, sorry, yeah.
Pitt's playing Navy. Last I heard, it was 7-7. And they're playing at Navy Marine Corps Stadium in Annapolis. The late, great Beano Cook, as only Beano can do. Up on the facade at Navy Marine Corps Stadium are the great naval battles. And Beano looks out of the facade and he says, "Look at that. Guadalcanal. Iwo Jima, Okinawa, What a schedule. And all on the road.
What a schedule.
And all on the road. Only Pino. We'll come back with more in a moment. Man, your team was really bad yesterday. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck. And maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, next is Bill Belichick.
What was he thinking?
I know what he was thinking. I mean, what he's thinking is actually very simple. This is what he's thinking. He's thinking that you kick off, you get a three and out, and you get the ball at the 35-40-yard line, and then you get two first downs, and Guskowski wins it with a field goal. That's what he's thinking. Now, do I do that? No. I mean, I don't do that. Like most people, I would take the ball. I'd like to take the chances and go from there. I've got Tom Brady. So since I've got Tom Brady, I would like to win the game with Tom Brady out there. What I would do. Zimmer of Minnesota did it this year, too.
I was going to say, has anyone ever done that where they've not taken the ball on an overtime?
Yeah, it happened this year. Zimmer of Minnesota did it. He took the wind.
Well, but see, that's the point right there. You said it right there. He took the win. I understand that, but they didn't even do that.
Well, you asked me to explain. Would I do it? No. Okay, so let's start with that one.
But I think the funniest part is Belichick just says, well, I don't understand why there's so much controversy about this. What? Do you watch the NFL?
Yeah, but again, it's not what I would do, but it's not within the realm of it doesn't make sense. If your defense is playing really well, you kick off. In all likelihood, it's going to be a touchback. You're going to start from the 20. You get a three and out. You're going to get the ball at the 35-40-yard line. You no longer need a touchdown to win. You just need two first downs and a field goal to win. So, I mean, I see the logic behind what he's doing. All right, but at the same time, even though I see the logic, it's not what I would do. That seems to bother you as well.
No,
but at least
not
I explained.
Really. Yeah.
At least I explained it.
Yeah, you explained it.
I mean, that's what he's trying to do. What he's trying to do is behind him. Did I ever see Joe Paterno in the second half of a game? Kick off for the second time in a game. Yes. It was 1978. It was Pitt. Wind was blowing tremendously out of the north to south. It was blowing so hard that Penn State kicked off and Pitt could never move the ball. Then they moved the ball in the second half. Joe decided he wanted the wind in the third quarter, so he kicked off again. And the reason he kicked off again was because he was able to pin Pitt down, score the points he needed, and then had enough to win the game. So I actually saw Joe do that where he kicked off twice in a game, but not in overtime. Not in overtime. But that's the logic behind it. The logic behind it is, look, we want to kick off. We want to go this particular direction. And then we want to go, and we'll go from there. Okay. Well, I mean, I see the logic in it. Is it something I would do? No. Is it something most people do? No. Is there actually some logic behind it? Yes. Right? So, I mean, it's not like it's illogical. Just because a talk show host wouldn't do it doesn't mean it's illogical. I mean, again, I see what he's trying to do. It's not something I would do. I've got Tom Brady as my quarterback. So if I got Tom Brady as my quarterback, I actually trust him to get me in the end zone and score, even though he wasn't having a great day yesterday either.
You know, I had a couple of things that I didn't put on your little rundown there. I was a little surprised about Nebraska getting down. Were they down 21-7 at one point in that Foster Farms Bowl before they came back and won it?
I don't think they were that. No, I don't think.
I mean, they were down. I know at one point, but I don't know how far.
They were usually. I think they were within a score all the most of the game before they took off. But again, what does it go back to? What did I say at the beginning of the bowl season? Take all the 5-7 teams, they'll win.
Yeah, and Duke, Indiana, that was a slugfest.
That was to be expected. Neither team plays defense.
Well, that's the other thing I was just going to say. There has not been a ton of defense, with the exception of maybe the St. Petersburg Bowl, in these bowl games. Is that a trend we're seeing in college football right now?
I think you might see a fair amount of defense in the Penn State-Georgia game.
I mean, with the exception of Marshall beating Connecticut 16-10 and Washington State being Miami 20-14, most of these bowl games...
That was a driving snowstorm, too.
Right, right. In Texas. That was weird. But when you're watching these games, I mean, a lot of these games are well into the 40s.
Yeah, I just think it's matchups.
Hey, here's Virginia Tech Tulsa. 107 points?
Bud Foster, not his best day. Bud Foster, not his best day.
There was another one that was ridiculous, too. I think that was the highest scoring one so far. Arizona, New Mexico, 45-37.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're entertaining. There's lots of scoring.
Is it entertaining? Is a lot of scoring, is that much scoring entertaining?
When I saw the way Baylor plays, no. That does not entertain me. I've said that before. Baylor football does not entertain me. Those type of offenses don't entertain me. These are not those type of offenses.
By the way, end of the first quarter, Navy leads Pittsburgh 14-7. In the Military Bowl.
Let's see. Shouldn't we be asking why Patino even thought about responding to the fans' comments?
I haven't heard anybody say that.
Shouldn't have responded at all. Should have just moved on.
See, I've heard everybody talking about what he did. How about the fact that he shouldn't have done anything?
Right. Now, the Steelers have a shot here. Yeah, I mean, this is going to be really a shock to your system, but you're going to have to root for Cincinnati tonight.
I know. I'm well aware. I was rooting for Cleveland tonight, yesterday, too.
It's a great matchup tonight. It's Andy Dalton and the Bengals against Peyton Manning and the... It's A.J. McCarron and Brock Osweiler. And by the way, Al Jazeera is about to get their backside sued big time, and I say soak them.
Good.
And people are using Al Jazeera as a source, really?
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served the Valley for decades. Best insurance, best price. Oh, and by the way, when there's a claim, you are taken care of immediately. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Very quickly, tomorrow, Jack Hamm on the show. Mark Weiser, Athens Banner statesman, on the show tomorrow. So we have a lot going on in tomorrow's show. And, of course, basketball at Maryland on Wednesday following Shikellamy basketball. And then I'll be at the Tax Slayer Bowl on Saturday with Jack. at 10:30 for an airtime when Penn State takes on Georgia. Let's talk Bucknell basketball now. We bring in Nathan Davis, the head basketball coach at Bucknell. Coach, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
As always, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Okay. All right, now you make the turn. You're going to get to Patriot League play. All right, on your checklist right now, what do you want to take care of? What are some of your priorities?
Well, it's pretty simple for us. I think that, I mean, you want to make it overly complicated, but there's really four things defensively we have to do. We have to do a better job in transition. We have to do a better job recognizing personnel. We have to do a better job defending ball screens, and we have to do a better job on penetration. And then offensively, we want to make sure that we're running in transition, that we're having a post presence, that we're being unselfish when we drive, and that when it's time to screen people, we hit you. So, moving forward, that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what it comes down to. Recognition. Was that part of the 17 three-pointers from Fairfield yesterday?
I think a lot of it came down to just understanding how important it was, or executing how important it was, to take their guys that can shoot and run them off the line. And we kept closing out, coming out short. We kept giving up some easy penetrations, forcing rotations. We shouldn't have had to have them. And they got some good shots. And it's also one of those things where when you don't do a good job early and guys start getting comfortable and feeling good about themselves, those shots tend to fall. And so you have to do a better job establishing yourself early, making it tough, giving some resistance so that a few of those times when they are open, they aren't feeling good about it and those don't go in.
Nathan, you've had leads in the second half against the three Power Five opponents that you've faced, Wake Forest, NC State, and Penn State. What does that tell you about the potential of your team that you are able to do that against those teams? And they are not all of them were home games either.
Well, I think that the thing that stands out, and obviously it's very frustrating at times not getting the job done against any of these teams. We've had a chance to win all those games. But when you go back and look through every game, there's stretches where we show what we're capable of. We've played good, challenging teams. Those high-major teams are obviously even more challenging. And your margin for error is smaller. We got to get focused on the things that win and lose games. I think Joe Gibbs said, was a big Washington Redskins fan, Joe Gibbs said all the time that in order to win it all, a team's got to be obsessive about the fundamentals and the little things. And we aren't that all the time. We worry about scoring. We worry about getting our shots more than we worry about being in a position defensively, contesting shooters, rotating on penetration, and then finishing possession of box out. If we do those things consistently, I mean, we're going to score points with the talent we have. If we can do those things consistently, then our points will put us over the top at the end.
The little things. When you played, how long did it take for you to realize the little things?
Oh, I'd like to credit myself and say I was really smart and got it immediately, but I doubt that was true. Even though there's no one listening or anything, they could question me on that. I think that it's one of those things that takes time. Every team I've been on, from when I was here as an assistant, we had those great teams with Chris McNaughton and Charles Lee. There was a stretch where they didn't get it, and then eventually it clicked. Being at some other places, being in Randolph Macon, we had the same thing at times. There were some stretches where we didn't get it, and then suddenly it clicked. Now, saying that suddenly it did, that doesn't mean you can't. It's not an issue that's got a or that result. I'm sorry, it's not an issue that doesn't resolve or doesn't mean you need to have urgent attention to it. You need to be urgent about it. You need to pay attention to it. You need to continue to get better every day. You need to carry things over as you're not doing them over and over again, so you can move on to the next thing. But it's not going to happen just because it's happened before. It's not going to happen just because it could happen. We've got to eventually go out there and make it happen. We've got to do it right. We got to do it right every time. We got to hold each other accountable. We got to coach them better. We got to execute better. It's across the board. We've got to do everything better. But the good thing is, like you said, when you play NC State, when you play Penn State, when you play Wake Forest, when you play the quality mid-major teams we played, and you've been there with a lead in the second half of every game, it tells you what you're capable of when you're not playing up to your potential. We've got to get to the point where we're playing up to our potential.
Exactly. The season continues, but it's also the Patriot League opener. In some ways, is this a fresh start for them?
I mean, I think you can look at it that way, but at the same time, I mean, yeah, you go back and you say, well, what happened till now doesn't really matter, because you know going in that with our league, you're going to have to win the league in the league tournament to get in the NCAA tournament, which is everyone's goal. But at the same time, you're playing good people so that you can find out about yourself. And if you keep having the same issues and you can't move on and can't improve, at the end of the day, you're going to have those same issues when you get in the league play. At some point, you got to put your foot down, draw a line, and make a stand and say, that's not happening anymore. Fortunately, we know what it is now, and so we've got time to deal with it. And I think everything we have issues with is stuff that we can correct, which is a good thing. It's not things that, like, there's just no way we can get around it. It's a good thing we can correct them. But at the same time, we got to focus in. We got to have a sense of urgency that we're going to start doing these things now. If we start doing these things now, we'll have a great chance. If we don't, we're going to struggle.
What about pace of the game? Do you like the number of possessions you're getting in a game, or would you like to see a couple of extras, or would you prefer maybe to see a couple fewer to change maybe the tone of something?
I thought the pace was actually pretty good for us yesterday. The number of possessions, the things like that were good. We've got to do a better job of limiting careless turnovers. I can't tell you how many times we dropped passes or fumbled it out of bounds or just made a bonehead decision. Some of that comes from playing more and being back off break, but at the same time, you just got to do better. If we eliminate five or six of those, you never know what happens as the game goes on. We're going to get good possessions, we're going to get good shots, and then you might have had a chance.
All right, that's interesting. You say you dropped the ball a lot, fumbled it just a bit yesterday, and you talk about coming off break. Is it also maybe you have guys that really are trying and maybe trying too hard?
It could be. That certainly could be the case. It could be, and I think there are times when I look at it and guys are they're not necessarily meaning to, but they're trying to make hero plays and take off by themselves and save us
right.
and try to save us. And it's one of those things, you can't do that. You have to trust the guys around you. You have to play together. You have to trust the process, believe in the process, and just make the right play. You look at us offensively with the guys we have with Nana Fallon and Zach Thomas and Chris Haas and Ryan Fraser and Stephen Brown and our freshmen and our – I can go right down the list. They all are capable of making plays. So we have to play together.
Right.
Space, we have to be balanced, we have to play together. If we just make the simple plays, we're going to get open shots, and we're going to make a lot more open shots than we're going to miss.
It's interesting because as much as they don't – you know, sometimes they're trying to make a six-point shot. I mean, you and I both know you can't do that.
No, no doubt. I can't tell you how many times in these games where we've fallen behind, I'm looking at them and going, guys, you can't. We're down eight. You can't get it back right here. You can get two. You can get three. You can get one. But it's going to take a combination of us going on here and getting consistently good shots and making them take tough shots. And you can't get it back in one fail swoop. You're going to have to do it one at a time. That's part of the game. That's part of learning.
How are you doing for the most part with I get a stop and then turn it into a score?
We haven't got a lot of stops, so I can't say we're doing particularly well.
Right, okay.
I think, though, what you see, though, is when we do string together stops, we go on runs. Because, again, I know you didn't see the game, but yesterday we scored 91 points. I don't think we played particularly well offensively. We didn't play well defensively, but I don't think we played as well as we could offensively either, but we still scored 91 points. I think it shows what we can do. If we play well offensively in a game like that, and we play even just okay defensively, we'll be in good shape. I don't want to settle for okay. I want to be really good. But if we can just get it to where we're okay, that's a step in the right direction.
Right. No question about that. All right, how do you want to handle the next couple of days to get ready for the opener?
Well, we had a good film session today. We got on the floor. We're a little banged up, so we couldn't do a lot of stuff live. But we had to pick and choose where our contact was and things like that. And we'll have to do the same thing tomorrow. But again, a lot of it, I think, with us comes back to we know what to do. We got to focus in and do it. I've got to make sure that they have a clear understanding. That could be part of it, is that we know what we're doing. We don't have a clear understanding, so we don't fly around, or we aren't willing to admit we don't understand to ask so we can get it taken care of, or we just aren't getting ourselves ready to go. So there's a lot of different things we can do, but it comes back to we've got to be ready to fly around and make things happen together. I say make things happen. That doesn't mean we got to come down and jack it. We got to come down and rip it and drive or one pass every time. We got to do it together. Certainly there'll be times where we're one pass shot. There'll be times where we're one pass drive. There'll be times where it's going to be 10, 15 passes. I don't know. That's why you play the game.
Yeah. My old friend Ed DeChellis brings Navy in to take you on Wednesday night. Just a little quick thumbnail on Navy. What will be important against them?
Well, they're a little different than some of the teams we play, where they're playing with a slower pace. They don't shoot as many threes. They're physical. Obviously, when you're a Naval Academy team, any of those types of kids are going to be a physical, tough, defensive, rebounding team. And they have some good pieces offensive. They can make some shots. They have a few guys that make shots. They have guys that they can throw it into. So they've got balance. And he is, you know, Coach Chalice. He does a really good job. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
He has a way of maximizing his talent. They're going to come in here. I think they're coming in 8-4. They're feeling good about themselves. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to go out there and play well, and we're going to have to go out there and earn it. They're not going to bend over and give it to us. We're going to have to go out there on Wednesday and play well for 40 minutes and take it away from them.
Ed did tell me one good story about trying to coach at Navy, and I said, "What's it like there?" He said, "Steve, one day I'm in practice." He said, "This one of my players comes into the practice. He's soaking wet." And I looked at him and said, "Oh, okay, what's your deal? You know how Ed is. Yeah, what's your deal?" And he says, "Seal maneuvers in the river. We just got done." He says, "Go see that."
Well, as a former Navy assistant for Don DeVoe in 5 years, we can tell lots of stories about things there.
But I bet you can.
It's a great institution with great people. They do it the right way. They represent the country very well. They play the game the right way. So it'll be, I mean, there's nothing bad you can say about the United States Naval Academy.
And by the way, you play the game the right way as well. Good luck on Wednesday night. Appreciate the time very much.
Thank you. Have a good week.
You too. Nathan Davis, head basketball coach at Bucknell. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
For over a century, the force has been strong with Sun Mary Motors. As 2015 draws to a close and SMC embarks on their 101st year, now is the time to experience Sun Mary Motors. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, and Lincoln. At Sun Mary Motors Ford, they're financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months and no payments for 90 days. Plus over 120 new Ford trucks with savings up to 11 grand. Sun Mary Motors Hyundai has 0% financing for 72 months on all 2016 Hyundai Elantras. And there's up to $7,500 off remaining 2015 Sonatas. There's nothing like the holidays in a new Lincoln from SMC. The Lincoln Wishlist event is on. Save on Lincoln MKZ, MKX, the first ever MKC, and the new Navigator. And there's no payments until May at Sunbury Motors Kia. Plus 0% financing for up to 66 months on 2015 Optimus and 2016 Serenos, Sportages, Souls, and Fortes. Sunbury Motors Ford, Hyundai, and Lincoln in the Reform Speed Auto Plaza at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Redskins look terrific. Eagles didn't. And the Steelers.
Depressing.
They'll take that. But yet they can still get in.
Don't deserve it.
And it's, no, that see that that see that that's always I always find that ridiculous. Okay, if you don't deserve it, then why do you have the record that gets you in? If you don't deserve to get in, why do you have the record that gets you in?
Because you need to win and have other things happen. When you have the opportunity to win and be in, period, and not have to worry about anybody else, and you don't do it, then you probably don't deserve to be in. And that's just the way I feel about it.
You either are in or you're not, okay? You're either... In other words, this is what people like you fail to see. There is a body of work that lasts months. Your body of work at the end of months is better than their body of work, so you're in.
Shouldn't have to come down to that. You should just, if you have the opportunity, just think and win and be done with it.
Okay, but your team has holes. All teams have holes.
That's true.
They all have holes. Okay, every one of them has a hole. And that's the problem. The problem is they all have, every one of these teams has a hole in it. And that's a big problem. Right? I mean, there's no perfect team out there. Even the Patriots have a hole in it. I mean, look at the Patriots right now. The Patriots have a hole in it.
I'm having a bad flashback to 2 years ago, I think it was, when the Steelers needed like this team to lose, this team to lose, and this team to lose, and they needed to win, and everything happened but one. That's what I'm.
That's what I feel like. That's where San Diego and Kansas City. That was the one that killed
them. Right,
right. And that was the one where they made the wrong call because I think.
Yes.
Was it San Diego was improperly lined up? They had too many guys on one side of the ball.
And that was in overtime, too, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I watched
I'll also say this. The officiating has been very poor the last. I think part of it is the league office itself is killing these guys. The league office is killing these guys right now. And that's a big problem. Because and this is why I say that. You know, you were talking, was it 3 weeks ago, your number one topic was, what is a catch?
Yes, yes, what is a catch?
All right, and that's a big problem for them because it's going across the board with a lot of things that are happening in the league. And they are spending too much time with all these minute subtleties that I think is botching them up and fouling them up.
Do you think it's a good idea to have New York for these playoff games on the line, let's just call it, in case there's a question about how something should be officiated?
For what?
Well, basically, you're going to be able, the referees are going to be able to contact New York, not only to have a review, but also make sure that they get the call correct if there's an interpretation question or something. I don't think that's, I think that's a bad idea. I really do.
I think the less that New York is involved,
exactly.
I want to see the guy. I think, first of all, the college system is not perfect. I have seen college replays botched. All right, I saw a college I've seen three college replays in the last 4 years botched. One of which Penn State was able to be the recipient of a gift, and twice Penn State was ripped off. The one time was at Nebraska, the Matt Lehman play, he scored. It's just an awful call by the replay official, an awful call. The interception by Nick Suke against Purdue, it bounces off the ground. We both saw it. Jack and I both saw it. And they called it, I think they said it stands. And we were like, stands for what? Bad officiating? What?
Well,
And Penn State was the beneficiary of that. And, of course, the Von Bell interception last year where they say they claimed it didn't work. You know, just sitting there like, what do you mean it didn't work? I'm watching it on TV. Or,
well, here's what's supposed to happen in the playoffs. The NFL VP of officiating, Dean Blandino, will work from the office. The officiating command.
Yeah. He is a problem.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
Let's be honest with you. He is a problem in this entire process.
Yeah, he has not helped his referee crews out at all this year. But he's going to be in the command center in New York. We'll be in contact with the refs about correct enforcement of the rules, even beyond situations covered over instant replay. The consultation may occur between the referee and the VP of officiating or his designee, located in the league's officiating headquarters in New York, regarding the correct application of playing rules. Here's my question to you, Steve. If you have guys, officials, that have been in the league as long as some of these have, especially the referees, which are averaging, what, about 15, 20 years, shouldn't they already know these rules? And why do we need somebody in there that they can consult with? You've got how many referees on the field already? If you can't come to a consensus with all those referees on the field, why do you have to go to New York to get an official word from the VP? This tells me the NFL has zero confidence in their officiating crews.
Yeah, well, here's the current one. Here's the big one, which you completely missed. And that is, these crews are all on the field by merit.
Right. Yeah, these are playoff crews, right.
Okay, in other words, these are the best crews they have.
That just
they
tells me
not
that,
need.
Yeah.
They shouldn't need this.
It just tells me that we don't have any confidence in our officiating crews being able to get it right, so we're going to give you help.
And by the way, your movie Concussion?
Yes.
I said it will have no impact. It will have no impact. What's the biggest story to come out of the movie Concussion? What's the biggest story?
Well,
what's the one that's got run?
You tell me.
Dave Duerson is improperly portrayed. And that's the story out of it. If that is the story that's coming out of it, that Dave Duerson is improperly portrayed, that means the message, which you are trying to get across and many others, is now completely lost.
You're right about that. If that's what the big story is, that's a problem.
That is the problem.
It actually came out and finished sixth overall.
Wow. I thought, in all honesty, I thought it would finish second or third.
It grossed $11 million in 3 days. Now, this is for the weekend of the 25th.
Yeah. That's bad.
Star Wars grossed $153 million. Daddy's Home.
Oh, didn't somebody say that would be first for the weekend?
Well, I didn't. Did I argue with you there? No. Daddy's Home, 39,000. Joy was 17, Sisters 14, Alvin and the Chipmunks 13, followed by a concussion.
Alvin and the Chipmunks
Alvin
beat out your message movie.
And the
movie.
Chipmunks beat
I'm
out the message
you.
Movie. But
I'm
it was the opening you. Weekend. Maybe it'll be better next weekend.
Kevin, next weekend it's going to be 6 or 7 million.
I mean, Sisters have been out 10 weeks and Alvin and the or 10 days and Alvin and the Chipmunks 10 days.
It's going to go down.
Alvin and the Chipmunks because all the kids were home and they wanted to see a holiday weekend movie.
Now,
concussion doesn't
say
they
want.
That.
Well, a lot of people want to see what the movie Repentant was. It the Leonardo DiCaprio movie out in the woods.
Yeah.
Supposedly it has a lot of Academy Award buzz and this, that, and the other thing. I don't know. By the way, a lot of people have made a big deal out of the Penn State depth chart for the bowl game. The depth... No. Just... No.